Our first lesson comes from the letter to the Hebrews. Listen for God's word. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs.
From the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering a house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by a different way. The word of the Lord. Among our favorite family Christmas decorations is a manger scene I bought in France during my junior year in college when I was studying abroad. The tradition in southern France is to include the usual characters, the Holy Family, the shepherds and wise men, but also what they call in French, les saintons, the little saints. Dressed in the clothing of Provence, my French manger scene has a woman carrying a baby in arms to see the baby Jesus, a baker with baguettes, a fisherman bringing fish, le fou, the fool for Christ with his arms held high, an elderly couple leaning on canes as they come together. All these village people from their usual places of home and work, in their regular clothes, make their way among the shepherds and wise men to assemble before the newborn king. These little everyday saints in my French manger scene remind me of how the story of Jesus' birth makes room for everyone to come and worship him. It may have been just Mary and Joseph who were there that first Christmas when Jesus was born, and a little later the shepherds from the fields led by angel choruses to see this thing that had happened. But when the Magi get there, tradition holds some months later, this little intimate family story of new birth was opened for all the world to see. Those Magi, the wise men from afar, when they came past Herod looking for a newborn king, they represented the world, the Gentile nations far from the little Jewish province of Bethlehem. They are the ones who represent us at the manger. The important thing the Magi teach us is not just where they came from, but how they departed and made their way home by another way, Matthew tells us. Not past the palace of Herod, who sat enthroned upon the power of oppression and cruelty, but warned in a dream to avoid Herod's evil plot to do the baby king in, they went home a different way from the way they came. That's how it's supposed to be for us, too. Once we have been to the manger and knelt before the Christ child, we are never the same again. Once we see that the great God of all creation is born among us, God's love for the world appearing in the ordinary lives of ordinary people, we go home a different way. We walk by light, not of this world. William Placker, biblical scholar and theologian, has written, "When most Christians reflect on God becoming human in Jesus Christ, they don't think about theories of the incarnation, but about the Christmas stories. We may not understand the relationship of the divine nature to the human nature in Christ, but we remember Mary and Joseph and the baby, the shepherds and wise men. We remember their simple story that changed the course of human history forever." It was St. Francis of Assisi who first created a live nativity in 1223 in a humble outdoor setting. People loved it and came from miles around to see it. Before Francis assembled his live nativity using a real infant as baby Jesus, the Christ child in pre-Renaissance paintings always featured him looking very much like a little adult. He sat upright in his mother's lap, sometimes with an orb in hand as if surveying his kingdom. His head was small compared to a real baby's head, and his features look serious and grown up. But after St. Francis created a live nativity scene, artistic depictions of Jesus began to change, and he began to look more like a real baby. St. Francis reminded his neighbors that Jesus was born like every baby and was weak and helpless and dependent on his mother and father. His nativity scene brought the story to life so that people could understand how God comes to us when we are weak and helpless and dependent. You also remember it was St. Francis of Assisi who penned the prayer that speaks of the path we take after we have knelt before Jesus. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." St. Francis understood how coming to the manger of the Lord changes us It makes us more Christ-like in how we live and how we are directed home by another way. Garrison Keillor told a story of another live nativity scene in his news from Lake Wobegon on A Prairie Home Companion. The living nativity returned to Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility this last week on Sunday out in front of the church. They used to have an enormous electric creche with moving parts. That one cow was switching its tail, and the infant turned his head and held up a hand, and the Blessed Virgin bowed down slightly. But those moving parts aren't moving anymore. So Sister Arvon decided to have a living nativity and go out and recruit. She went to the youth group of the Catholic Church and found young people who she could bend to her will. She found Linda McAdance to be the Blessed Virgin and Carl Schopenhauer to be Joseph. Those are the two for which you have to have certain unspoken standards, the Blessed Virgin Mary and Joseph. In a small town, people know who qualifies for that and who does not. So they were all set, and there were some llamas who appeared in the role of the camels, and some real sheep who didn't really want to be there, but there they were, and all sorts of children stuffed full of sweets. And shepherds were there. You don't care about their character whatsoever. They wore big bathrobes just like they did in Scripture. Some of them brought things to drink under their robes to keep them warm, if you know what I mean. The angels came in rhinestones and feathers, and so it was very festive. It was really very lovely. People drove up and parked and came in drinking hot chocolate and stood around the scene. The wise men brought gifts of coffee and figs, chocolate and cookies, which Mary and Joseph really enjoyed. It was a beautiful thing as the sun went down. There wasn't a fence around it or anything, so people just walked right into the nativity scene. They visited with one another. They just walked right in and they talked to the Blessed Virgin Mary and Joseph. It was lovely until the fire station siren went off. And two wise men had to make a run for it. And some of the other men watching as well, they also dispersed in a hurry. After that, people were wondering, well, how does this end? Where does this end? What's the end of the story when there's no curtain to come down? They were right there in our midst, then half the cast were gone. What's the end of the story? Keillor muses, well, that's something we've been trying to figure out for 2,000 years, isn't it? What's the end of the story? Friends, here is the best news of Christmas. It is a story that does not end. We who have seen the star and heard the angels sing are called to participate in this birth, called to be instruments of God's peace, love, faith, forgiveness, hope, light, and joy. The God we see revealed in Jesus is the way, inviting us to a new way, a different kind of life, a changed perspective, a more promising future. God will not change the world without our human participation in it. For God gave us Jesus to show us the way into and then from a story that never, ever Amen.